Messiah would come, the earth would rejoice, the people start to sing. For they would behold, as Scripture foretold, a mighty King of kings. But he came as a child, not like they had planned, not like they'd planned.
What a joy it is to be back in my pulpit and preaching here the Word of God. It's just a blessing. Always nice to get away, isn't it? But it's always nice to come back, you know. And Dorothy said it best when she said, "There's no place like home." And I believe that. I enjoy. I love the trip and the travels, but I love being back home and being with God's people and being in a church and being with you people. It's always a blessing. And so again, thank you for allowing me the privilege to get away, to refresh and to be ready to go again, and allowing me to be your pastor. I really appreciate that very much, and love being here, and love serving here at Calvary Baptist Church in Fairfield, California. And we traveled in all over the South, different places in the South, and we really learned to appreciate, as we're traveling, our ministry and our church here, and it's a blessing to be here. So again, thank you for allowing me to be here with you and serving alongside you here in this very conservative, godly state of California. And so I praise the Lord for that. You know, I was a teenager. I was invited to hear a man who spoke of his life from a gang member in New York City. And several years ago, he was giving his testimony. He was talking about how that in living in New York City, he joined the gangs, and how that He was involved in drugs, and there was alcohol, and there was all types of crime. There was beatings. I mean, it was horrific, the things that I heard him tell of as a young teenage boy. I remember hearing him talk about the fact that he even slept with a gun because he had so much fear for his life. He didn't know that whether he was going to die, someone was going to try to kill him. And so he slept with a gun. He had absolutely no peace. He said he had very, very few nights where he could ever even sleep comfortably. And then one day, he heard a message. He heard a story. He heard about the fact that there was a Savior who came and who died on the cross for his sins and my sins and your sins. And that man received Jesus Christ as Savior. And he talked about something about having the peace. I mean, you know, when I think of peace, I kind of think of it as something like, you know, maybe like that's peaceful. You know, it's like we're at a place where everything's just quiet. There's that hush. There's that peace, that inner peace that comes. And so he talked about that inner peace. Well, that struck a chord with me. Because though I wasn't a member of a gang, and though I wasn't, you know, living out in the streets and all those kind of things, as a 14-year-old boy, I didn't have any peace. I didn't have any peace at all. I didn't have any peace about my life. I didn't have any peace about when I die, where I'm going to go. I had no peace and no contentment. I was tossed. I was going through struggles in my own teenage life. And I was trying to find, where is it that you can have peace? And where can you have contentment? And what I learned in listening to this man, he talked about the fact that you can have peace. And I said, you know, I want that kind of peace. And it wasn't but just a few months later that I was privileged to hear a man preaching in a revival meeting, preaching about the peace of God. And he said something like this. He says, no Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, you can know peace. And I thought, man, if that's what it's about, that's certainly what I need. I need to have the peace of God. Because you see, in growing up, for me, I was around those who said, well, you know, you can have peace in other things. You don't need Jesus. Religion actually robs you of your peace, but that's not really true at all. In fact, I learned, and I believe that every one of us needs to understand, that in order to have peace with God, we need a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot have peace without it. There are so many people who would like to bypass it, and they think that they can bypass it by, you know, drugs. They think that brings peace. Some think that relationships bring peace. Some think that things will bring peace. That those things that we can get in life, you know, the fancy things can bring peace. That's what they believe. And still others think, well, you know, if I can just somehow get a break in Hollywood, maybe I can have the lifestyle of Hollywood. And some people believe in the myths of Hollywood and all those kind of things. And I must tell you this, if they really had peace, why are their lives in such a mess? Look, without an encounter with Jesus Christ, you and I, we cannot have peace. There's no way we can have peace. And I'm thinking about teenagers. Maybe as a teenager, you are filled with struggle and you have no peace like I did. Perhaps maybe that in the world's eyes, everything looks good on the outside, but you know inside that when you lie down at night, you have no peace in your heart. You have nothing, you know, you're absent of something that you really need, and you're thinking that somehow that there must be something out here better, and I want to tell you, there's not anything out here better. It's up there that's much better, and we need to understand that. And maybe you're in a young adult, and maybe for your life, you've had a huge struggle. Maybe you're at a place where, for you, there's no peace either. And you're maybe thinking, you know, if I could just get married, or if I could just get this, land this job, or I could just have this, or I could have that, that would bring me peace. And maybe some young couples might even be like that, that you might be married, and now you have your home and your career and everything's settled, and you have children, but yet you lack contentment. And you think, you know, if I could just have more of what I have. And let me tell you something, if that brought peace, then those who have more than what you got would have peace.
And they don't have peace either. So where is it? How can we have this peace? How can we have this contentment? How can we have that which the world is seeking after? And they're trying to find it in all the wrong places. How can we have it? And like I said, the encounter with Jesus Christ is that which is what we need the most. You see, this is not a new situation. It's an old situation. In the Bible, there's someone who was just like that. He was a man that had struggles in his life. If you turn to Genesis chapter 32, let me introduce you to him. The entire chapter of Genesis 32 is about struggle. It's about a man by the name of Jacob. And Jacob was a man of struggle. Let's go back and just review briefly before we read the verses. Let me remind you a little bit about Jacob. Jacob was the son of Rebekah and Isaac. He had a brother named Esau, if you remember, and he had taken the birthright away from Esau. When they had left in anger after he had taken the birthright, we know that Esau had vowed that he would get revenge on Jacob. They had not seen each other for 20 years. Now the meeting was going to take place in Genesis 32. Jacob, who was the supplanter, he was the deceiver. He decided that the best option for him would be to take all of the people and all of his possessions and to divide them in two companies. And he would take the better of the two things that he had, and he would give them as a gift of appeasement to Esau when Esau arrived. And the thought was that if he annihilated all of those things and took all of those things, he would still have half of what he had. And so that's what took place. But what was interesting is, while the first company went to appease Esau, the second company waited there. Jacob slipped away alone. Let's read the story. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 32, and follow along with me the story. Verse 21, so went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives, his two women servants, and his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over all that he had. Verse 24, and Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now let me stop for a minute and make this comment about that. You see, what Jacob thought, if you were to ask Jacob, what is your biggest struggle in life? What is that which bothers you the most? What is it that which you can't seem to get any answers for? What is that one thing? And Jacob thought it was Esau. He was convinced that it was Esau. And for some of us in this room, we have Esau's in our life. Oh, it may not be in the form of a person. It could be in the form of a lust or of a bad desire or of a habit that we are struggling with. It could be a whole host of things. And what he had thought was that he was convinced that his biggest problem was Esau. And so when the Bible says here that he was left alone, he wrestled with the man, verse 24, until the breaking of the day. Let's read all, verse 25. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said to him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Here's the thought in the passage. I want you to get this. We win by losing to God. We win by losing to God. I want you to remember that thought when you leave today. Because the truth of the matter is, God has to break us in order to make us. The title of my message today is, A Man, or you could put Woman, whatever, wherever you would be in that, that God can use. How can God use us until He breaks us? How can God really take what we are and use us for His glory until, first of all, God breaks us? And Jacob was about to learn this valuable experience, for he thought that what he was struggling with was Esau. As we think sometimes what we struggle with is, well, there's the world out here, there are the things in the world, there's this, there's that. We think that's our big struggle, but the bottom line is, for all of us, whether we're Christians or non-Christians, it does not matter. All of us struggle with one major struggle, and that is we have not allowed God to be in the center of our life. Here's what happens. We like to have God in the suburbs of our life. We want God somewhere outside, just kind of like if we need Him, we'll just kind of call Him in. You know, like, God, okay, whenever I'm in trouble, I'll give you a call, but you kind of don't bother me right now. I'm living my own life. I got my own things to do. I've got a family I'm raising. I've got a job I got to keep up with. I got those things. And God, when I get in trouble, I'll let you know. But God, I don't really want you in the center. I just kind of want you in the suburbs so that I can call you in when I need you. And Jacob had to learn, like you and all of us have to learn, that in order for God to use us, He has to break us so that He can be in the center of our lives. Now, I'm going to ask you this today. What is in the center of your life? I mean, really, what is it? You know, what is it that when you lie down at night and you go to sleep and you drop off in sleep, what is the one thing that your mind and your heart and your life goes to? What is it? Because I'm going to tell you this, whatever that is, that's the center of your life. That's really what the center of everything of your total existence in this planet is. And I'm going to tell you, if it has anything else other than Jesus Christ, there will be no peace. You will not have the contentment. You see, the devil has tried to bring all the substitutes he can possibly bring to us, thinking that somehow if we attach ourselves to those things will give us that peace that we're looking for. That we will somehow or another attach to that, and that will be what we need. But the truth of the matter is, we always win when we lose to God. Jacob had won the battle in this case because what happened is God broke Jacob, and when God broke Jacob, now Jacob began to win. And if you're here today and you say, well, you know, Pastor, you know, I've been going through a lot and God is breaking me. You know what? God's breaking us so that He can use us. Now, how does God do that? How is it that God makes us? Well, there's some things I want to call your attention. Number one, you have to meet God yourself. You have to meet God yourself. You can't have God, you can't think of it like this. Well, you know, my parents, they were godly people. How many times have I been out in a community and I've read, you know, or knocked on doors and talked to people and they'll say, well, you know, my grandfather was a Baptist preacher. Or, you know, my wife, she goes to church and she's really, you know, she's really dedicated, really committed. Or, you know, my children, you know, they're going to Bible college this fall. And so that, you know, I'm really proud of them and the commitment. Now, the question is this, what about you? You see, you have to meet God personally yourself. You have to meet God as He is, and you have to come as you are. You see, what happens is we like to think somehow or another that if we're going to meet God, we got to get better. Oh, let me tell you something. God takes you just where you are. In fact, when you meet God, then that's when you can get better. And so the very first consideration, if we looked at it, and if God's going to make any of us and break us and make us useful, number one, we must meet God individually ourselves. Second of all, we have to meet God in our weakness. We have to meet God in our weakness. And then thirdly, we must meet God in the center of our life. You see, we have to meet God when we're weak. And by the way, that's exactly how the world can meet God, because Jesus was broken for our sins on the cross of Calvary. His body was broken. His death, his life was broken for us so that we can meet God through Jesus Christ. And what God is saying is just as Jesus' life was broken, God breaks our life so that we can meet him in our weakness. But then thirdly, we must meet him in the center of our life. Not outside somewhere, not outside the sort of the outskirts of our life, but God wants to come in on the inside. And I can't help but believe that there's some Christians, and I believe there are many Christians today that go to church every Sunday, and they may even read their Bible, and they may pray, and they may even give to God. But God is not really the center of their life. They do that because they think that somehow or another they'll keep God off their back, or maybe they'll make God happy and make their life more comfortable, or whatever the case is. But let me tell you something. That's not what God wants. God is not concerned about what you do. He's concerned about who you are with him. He's concerned about what's on the inside. He's concerned about that relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. Recently, there was a problem with my computer, and you know, I really thought it was the program, and so I tried a couple things on the program and realized that it really wasn't the program, it was the internal software, the operating system of the computer. I had somehow or another turned a switch off on the inside. And sometimes I think with your life and my life, we're kind of like that. You know, we start having problems out here in maybe some app in our life, and yet on the inside, the switch has been turned off with God. That somehow or another that God is, that we've kind of shut that off. And so we're having problems out here with this. And maybe my kids are bringing me problems. Or maybe this situation is not doing real well. Or maybe I'm struggling in this area. Or maybe my finances aren't what they should be. Or whatever the case is. That's because we've turned the switch off to God in our life. And what God is saying is that's where he wants to meet you and I, right there. That's what's going to really matter the most. You see, the very center of our lives is what we want deep down inside. It's really what we are on the inside. You see, we think we want maybe another job or maybe another car or, you know, maybe a promotion. After all, we deserve that. You know, we want something better, maybe recognition or maybe appreciation or maybe another friend or maybe another family, worse yet. And so somehow or another, we get the idea that that's going to really matter. But God doesn't want to be an additive to your life. He wants to be the center of your life. And so God says to you and me, and that's what he was saying to Jacob that day. He says, Jacob, you know, I've sort of been outside your life. I've been an additive to your life. I've been all of those things. But God, he's saying, but Jacob, I want to break you. I want you to lose this wrestling match so that you can win. And that's what God wants to do with us. You see, really the struggle in life is our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where the struggle is. That's what we're struggling with. That's what we're you know, constantly seems like in our own life, even as believers. And believers seem to struggle because they are being their lives are being robbed of their relationship with God through the world. The world wants to do that. If the world can get you to be more in love with it than with God, because, you know, you think you need more of this and more of that and more of this and more of that. Let me tell you, you can have more of everything you got and double more of everything you got and still be miserable. Because it's not those things that bring you contentment. It's not more vacations, although I was ready to stay a little bit longer, amen. It's not that. It's what we need is the deep relationship with Jesus Christ, and let him become the center of our life. You see, we win by losing to God. That's what we do. We win by losing to God. Now today, God may be breaking you so that he can use you. That struggle that you're having. So many teenagers think the struggle is, well, you know, I got to get married, or or you know, it's this person, you know, they bother me, or this thing bothers me, or you know, I just don't know what to do about this, or maybe it's my family, whatever it is. Teenagers think that somehow or another that's their struggle in life. Sometimes I think of young couples, you know, they struggle as well, and they think that somehow or another, you know, my struggle is, you know, I just don't have a house yet, or I don't have this yet, or I don't have that. You know, God may be crippling us in our struggle so that he can break us and show us what is really important in life. What really does matter in life is that relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, God wants to be the center of your life. Jacob, God wants to be the center of your life. Gentlemen, God wants to be the center of your life. God wants you. That's what he wants. Can you imagine, though, what it would be like if God is the center of your life? What peace fills your soul? I recognize that the day that I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I honestly believe that the greatest night of sleep that I've ever had was the night I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. It was on that night that I could go to bed knowing that I have to worry about if something were to happen, a tree were to fall on my house, or someone were to come in and shoot us, or we would get stabbed, or whatever the case is. I didn't have to worry about the fact of whether or not I was going to heaven. That was all settled with Jesus Christ. Some of you here today, that may be where you are. You may be struggling with trying to figure out, okay, how can I have that? Look, it is not religion. It's a relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. He's the one that's going to make all the difference in the world. Imagine the peace. Wouldn't it be wonderful to know you have peace with God? It'd be wonderful if you could go all through the day and not have to worry about the emotional ups and downs of life, because you know that you have contentment and peace that comes with walking with Jesus Christ and having him in the center of your life. That's what he's saying. And Jacob was struggling with everything in life. But really the root of it was that very thing, God being in the center of your life. Let me ask you a question. Is he only on the outskirts? He's just kind of hanging out there? Because, not because he wants to, but because you put him there. Would you be willing to say, God, you know, it's time for me to bring you back in. Let you become the center of my life. Let you become the director of my life. Let you become that one who will lead me, who will guide me, who will show me as I surrender myself. I want God, I want you to work. Will you let God back in your heart again today? You let God be the director of your life? You see, the lack of peace is oftentimes nothing more than the war that we're having, not so much with the world or our spouses, or kids, or our bosses, or anything else. The war we're having so often is with God. And let me tell you this today. You always win when you lose to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray today, as we have come, that, Lord, you might speak to our hearts. Father, how prone we are to push you outside of our lives instead of keeping you in the center of our life. Lord, I pray that you please forgive us. Lord, I pray that as our heads are bowed, you'd speak to our hearts this morning and show us, Lord, what a difference it makes in having you in the center of our life. Lord, how that when you're there, we can have that peace, and we can have that contentment, we can have that satisfaction of knowing you and knowing your fulfilling power and presence in our life. Before I finish that prayer, let me ask why our heads are bowed. I wonder if there's someone here today who would say, you know, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure that I'm a Christian. I don't know for sure that when I die I'm going to heaven. But if you're going to pray, would you pray for me that I would like to know Christ as Savior? I would like to know that peace you're talking about. That peace that gentleman in New York talked about, and that peace you're talking about, I want to know that peace too as well in my life. I am struggling. There's warring going on. I need that peace. Pray for me. If there's someone like that today, would you slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, please pray for me. That's me. I don't know for sure that I know Jesus Christ." Is there someone like that? Second question is this. I wonder how many in here today would say, "You know, I'm a Christian, but quite frankly, Pastor, I have kind of pushed God outside of the center of my life. In fact, it seems like every day I'm pushing Him further and further outside the center of my life." And if you're going to pray, will you remember to pray for me? God's speaking to my heart. I need to bring Him back. I need to pull Him back in. Let Him become not just a part of my life, but the center of my life. I'm asking you to pray for me. God has been dealing with my heart. That warring, I have that warring, that lack of peace, that inner struggle that just God and me know about. And I know that's where it is. And I'd ask you to pray for me. Is there someone like that today? Would you let me pray for you? God bless you. God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you, and God, thank you. Thank you so much. Would you stand with me to your feet, please, very quietly while I pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, as we continue in prayer, we think of those who are here today that, Lord, do not know Christ as Savior. I pray, Lord, you'd please speak to them. Lord, show them, Lord, that they can have that peace that Jacob had. They can have that peace when they surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that they would be willing to let someone open the Bible and show them how to be a Christian and realize that peace that comes with that relationship through Jesus Christ. I pray for that Christian today here who is struggling. Lord, they may struggle even though they know you as Savior. They've pushed you out, and Lord, I pray that today that you would speak to them, and may they begin that steps of putting God back in the center of their life. Starting today and this week, just decide that God's going to be the center of their life again. Lord, I pray you'd help them today as well. Father, guide in the moments as we give this invitation. Now, just a moment, I'm going to finish.